That was kind of fun, huh? Good morning. Hey, it's good to see you guys here this morning. Couple of things. I just wanted to let you guys know, and especially not just you here, but those who are out in our viewing audience that is expanded beyond this immediate vicinity, we are meeting live. I've had a couple of people ask me that this week, and I want you to know, we are having service. You can get online. You can reservation. Actually, you could show up because we're not filling all the seats yet, but you guys can, if you would like to be a part of that, we'd love to have you here. So just to let you know that, invite you here, but it is great to be here this morning with all of you. I hope you guys are having a good morning. Amen. Hey, I got to tell you, I love that we're going into Advent this week. We are going into Advent because I think we need it. And the reason I think we need it is Advent is all about that kind of looking back and remembering all that waiting that went into, kind of that preceded, led into the coming of Jesus the first time when he was born on that first Christmas. But it's also about reminding ourselves that, you know what? We're still waiting. Amen? We're still waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. He said he's going to come back again. We're waiting for Jesus to come back and set this poor old kind of broken down world, set it right. And so I think we need that. I think we need that reminder, especially out of first pandemic Thanksgiving in all this anemic glory, right? All you guys, did you have all the cancellations, all the people that weren't around the table? All the, you know, this trimmed down meals. I talked to my mom and dad, and they actually were sharing frozen turkey dinners. It's like, that's not Thanksgiving. That's never been Thanksgiving. So I think we need to remember, you know, there are still things that need fixing in this world. So come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen? That's what Advent is about. I also, though, I pray that, I really hope that we haven't lost sight of and forgotten about the hope. The hope that is a part of every season we go through, the highs and the lows, every season we go through, hope is a part of it. We will always be waiting in this world. No matter what, until Jesus comes back, we will be waiting. So if it's not one thing in this life, it will be another. I'm sorry to have to break that to you. If it's not one thing, it will be another. But thanksgiving and gratitude are still part of every season we go through. We talked about that. Remember that 4 weeks ago? We talked about how thanksgiving and gratitude are part of everything. We talked about how we are a people who are defined by gratitude, how thanks leads to our success, not the other way around. We don't wait for our success till we're thankful. And so thanksgiving, this is something, Advent season, I'm glad we're going into it. I'm glad we're going into the season where we can remember what it means to wait expectantly for Jesus to show up. And to wait thankfully for him to show up. Amen? So in spite of that, though, you know, in spite of how thankfully and expectantly we are supposed to be waiting, I also want us to think about the fact that there's a lot about this season that is unexpected. Surprise, that element of surprise really is what defines a lot of the character of Christmas. Whether it's the surprise of what we find under the Christmas tree on Christmas morning, right? Or whether it's that surprise of having that person call or receiving that card from that person that we didn't expect that reaches out to us kind of out of nowhere, just the surprise of that. Or whether it's the surprise actually that we find in the story itself, the story that we tell every year, but how surprising when we think about that story and we go back to that story every year, but how the surprising twists and turns of the story about how the God of the universe came down. And he was born as a baby and he lived among us. And then he gave his life to rescue us. That was the reason for his coming, to rescue us from that pathway that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that we were locked onto, that we could not get off of, that led to destruction. And he rescued, he recreated a different option for us. And so Christmas is all about surprises. And today we're going to be talking about probably one of the biggest surprises that comes into the Christmas story, and something that I think has everything to do with our lives. But that is the surprise of the unexpected call, right? The surprise of the unexpected call. How many of you have ever received an unexpected call? And I mean a good one. I'm not talking about like the principal calls you up about your kid, right? I'm not talking about that one. I'm not talking about the doctor who, you get that call and you're going, wow, I didn't expect that news. No, I'm talking about that unexpected call that when you receive it, you just get the sense that the whole universe is smiling at you, right? And you get that sense that nothing is going to go wrong from here on out. It can come in different forms. I was thinking about this. For some of us, it may have come on that day, think about this, that we graduated from high school or graduated from college when they called our name. And we're going, wow, there it is. I'm not sure I was expecting that. Especially in spite of all those dreams, to the contrary, have you guys ever had those dreams? You're asleep at night and you dream you're going to your graduation, but then you remember, oh yeah, there's that paper I didn't turn in. There's that test I didn't pass. There's that book that fine I didn't pay. And so you're not going to graduate, but in spite of all those dreams, right? In spite of all those people that may have spoken contrary to that, who said that it would never happen, in spite of even what you may have said to yourself as you're going through it, I'm never going to make it. But on that day when they call your name, that unexpected call, and it's just like, there it is, I made it. The surprise of the call, right? It may literally be on that Christmas when you receive that phone call or that card from that friend who has looked you up, that has tracked you down, that reaches out and reconnects with you. And it comes maybe at just the time that you need it. For some people, and I know I've heard these stories, and even more, impacting is if that estranged, like brother or sister, reaches out, right? Or that estranged child, and they call you up, and they just want to call you to let you know what? Still love you. I miss you a lot. That unexpected call. Maybe it's that you've gotten a call about a job that you didn't think you were going to get, or maybe it was a prize that you didn't think you were going to win. I want you to think, how exciting, how surprising would it be if you had stopped down at some corner convenience store one day and just off the top of your head, you just picked like 7 or 8 random numbers and you wrote them down on this card and you dropped it in a box, right? And then you go home and all of a sudden you get this call that says, you know what? You just won tens of millions of dollars. That'd be surprising. The surprise of the unexpected call. Think about what it would have been like to be called by God unexpectedly. To be called by God and told that you're going to be someone who does something that is going to change the world forever. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the unexpected call and the surprise that comes with that unexpected call. That's what Mary experienced. That's what Joseph experienced. That's what the shepherds experienced. That's what the kings, the three wise men experienced. And you know what? That is to be our experience as well. That is, God says that he calls us. And it's very unexpected, but he calls us to be those who will do something, who will live a life that will change the history and change the world forever. Surprise. Right? And then we answer that call. I told you last week that our family had spent about 8 years in North Carolina at a church there. And after our time there was finished, I sent out this like pile of resumes, as we all do, to a bunch of churches trying to find out, where's that next place that God has an assignment for us? And the churches that we sent to, that I sent those out to, there were a lot of different types of churches, some large, some small. There were some that were well within my kind of capabilities at that point. There were some that were so out of my league, but what the heck? I'll send it there anyway, see what happens. There was this one church in particular that I remember at that time that I sent something to, and I applied for this position as their senior pastor. It was a small church. Medium-sized church in this small mountain town, a ski town in Colorado. And I was thinking, we love Colorado. We love skiing. We love Jesus. So let's do it, right? And so I sent the stuff in. What I learned later, after I had sent in my resume, after I had applied, is that, you know, I did some digging about what this church was. I found out that this small chapel, it was this chapel to like the rich and famous who summer and winter there, you know? And they had plans to build this $32 million sanctuary, you know, in the works at the moment, and to serve as a performing arts center for the whole community. You know, so this is kind of the stature of some of the people in that church. The pastor had a couple of earned doctorates. He also, on the side, he was the chaplain for the police department and the local medical center. I listened to some of his sermons. They were astounding. I mean, they were engaging the content. I mean, everything. His wife was a part of a think tank down in Colorado Springs when she wasn't busy raising horses on their large horse farm in the mountains. Now, in the meantime, I've just finished up 8 years of my first senior pastorate in a small, struggling church, right? My preaching was not at all up to where they were, what they grew to expect every week. And then also, I had no experience, zero experience with the rich and famous. You know, that's just not where we've been hanging out a lot. So needless to say, I was surprised when their search committee called me back and said I was even in the running at any point. Now part of the reason, I mean, that to me was a time of genuine surprise at the unexpected call, right? What I remember distinctly in that time were there were two lines of thought that developed in my mind. And tell me if this isn't true. There are two lines of thinking. The first line was something like this: wow, won't that be fun? The second was something like this: wow, that is terrifying, right? And both of them are going on in my head. Now, the first one is what I want to call the surprise at the delights of the call. The surprise at the delights of the call. Won't this be fun? I can't wait to enjoy. It'd be great to experience the benefits of if this call came into reality, right? And we experience that. It doesn't matter whether we are applying for a job and we're imagining what that new job might look like, or moving to that new region, or what it might be like to have that new house or that new car or that new baby, right? And we get excited about, wow, won't that be fun? The second line of thinking I want to call the surprise at the realization of the demands of the call, right? Because every call comes with demands as well, a framework that you're going to have to change things in. Now, in our situation, I think that line of thinking was probably prompted more by Carrie's reaction. And just because Carrie is usually way down the road on these, she's more realistic in these type of situations than I am. She's putting a lot more dots together than I am at the moment. I take a while to catch up, but her first comment upon hearing the news of this call, she said something like, you know, we're going to look like the Beverly Hillbillies in that place. And I said, you know, she's right. She's right. That's terrifying. And, you know, we also, that line of thinking comes into play also when we're thinking about what are the demands, this opportunity, how it's going to stretch us, how we may not survive that new job, that new region we're moving to, right? That new house, that new car, that new baby. Right? Do you guys remember the first time you became parents? I mean, with that first new baby, you're going, how in the world is this going to work? It's going to kill us both. When Mary was visited by the angel, and this was not just any angel, this was Gabriel. Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, right? This is Gabriel, the archangel, and he greets her with this, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That's literally where that prayer comes from in the Catholic tradition, is the greeting that Gabriel gives to Mary. Now, I am sure that she immediately thought, wow, isn't this cool to be greeted by one of God's most, you know, important messengers, to be called the favored one of God? But I'm sure that there was also followed with, wow, I am out of my league here, right? Something is coming. And I'm not sure, that's the surprise of the delights and the demands. That's that tension. And you know that the tension between those two lines of thinking, it just got more and more intense in her heart and in her mind. And as the Gabriel kind of starts to unpack what this call is all about, that's where we read that Mary was troubled by these words, right? Now, troubled, this is the same word that's going to be used in the book of Matthew about King Herod, when these magi, the king, the magi comes in and they tell the King Herod, they say, you know what, there's another king that's been born, but he's been announced in the stars. And it says, Herod was troubled by this news, and all of Jerusalem with him. Well, it says here that Mary was troubled as Gabriel begins to unpack the meaning of this call. Listen to the details. First, she is called favored by God. She goes, oh, great, that's awesome. And then she is told she will have a child. She's like, okay, that's good. You know, I was planning to have a child anyway. It's going to be an important child. He's going to be the king. He's going to rule over. Oh, okay, well, that's getting a little rougher because kings have trouble in this area. You know, there's a lot of political turmoil in this area. And then she's told, oh, and by the way, this pregnancy is not going to be by the normal means. It's going to be God's doing. That's when you know that she's going, okay, that a lot of that has this kind of, this is exciting kind of feel to it, but that's terrifying. This call all of a sudden just took a turn. That's the delights and the demands. And that always comes, those two parts are always part of God's call. When God calls us to do something. The other thing to note in this is that as we read the story, as we see the story unfold, we realize that Mary, at the beginning of this call, she has no idea where this is going. She doesn't know how this story is going to end. Right? She doesn't know where this is going to end up. The moment she receives the call, she has no idea of how big of a blessing this is going to be to her life and others. She has no idea of how big of a challenge this is going to bring to her life and to others. 2,000 years after the fact, we can look back and we can begin to see the impact that her accepting this call that God put on her life, we can begin to see the impact that this has had on the course of this world. We can begin to see how challenging this was for her as a woman, as a mother, as a follower of God, as a human being. We can begin to see how challenging this would have been for her because of what she was being called into in that moment. But that also is the nature of God's call. When God calls us, we cannot even imagine what he's talking about at the moment of the call. Amen? And all he asks us, will you receive that? And so at that moment, the moment of that surprise of that call, all that Mary asks two questions. She says, why me? How is this possible? But then finally she gets to the point and she says, I'm your servant. Whatever needs to happen here, I'm your servant. Here's the thing. Jesus has called each one of us. God has a call in our lives in the same way. Maybe not the same thing. We don't have an angel standing here telling us the details of the call. We have not been asked to literally, physically birth the Son of God into the world. We haven't been asked to raise him, to protect him, to understand him, to watch him at the height of his popularity, to see him at the depths of his rejection as he hangs on the cross and watch him as our own son. See, as our heart is ripped out of our chest as he is put to death, we haven't been asked to do that. But we do need to know God has called us and Jesus is calling us, each one of us, to be that person who does something that will change the world forever. Now, at this point, some of us, again, I said this last week, you know, some of us say, oh, great, well, then let's go to it. You know, I'll just say the prayer and we'll get on with it. But I think when we say it that quickly, we're not comprehending the delights and the demands. We're not really comprehending what the first thing about what God is calling us into. God has not just called us and asked us to receive Jesus so that when we die, we go to heaven. I mean, that's huge. That's exciting. That's amazing. But that's just a part of the story. That's a part of the call. Listen to this. God has called us to be the visible image of Jesus in this world. God has called us not just to be the visible image of Jesus, but also to be the acting agent of the triune God in the affairs of this world. God has called us to be the ambassador and representative of the power and of the purposes of the kingdom of heaven. He has called us to be the hands and the feet, but also the voice and the arm and the mind of the one who's come to set us free from poverty, set us free from oppression, set us free from wickedness, set us free from sin and sickness and death. He has called us to be the hands and the feet and the voice and the arm and the mind of that one, of Jesus himself. He has called us to be like he is. And that's when it should hit us. Wow, that sounds exciting, but wow, that sounds terrifying. The delights and the demands, the surprise of the call of God, because the call of God always includes that moment of surprise and excitement, but also the hesitation and the shock that comes from understanding the true nature of this calling. Now, sometimes the thought that we are over our heads, that question where Mary asked, why me, right? Can you imagine Mary, the angel shows up, and I know if I were there, you know, I'd be looking around going, are you sure you had the right address, right? Are you sure you got the right person? Because this is me, I know me. And why would anyone like you, God, choose somebody like me to do a purpose like this? Why? Why me? I know who I am. I know where I fall short. I mean, anybody feel that way? Ever? When you feel like God is putting something on your heart and you're going, ah, boy, why? Not me. I don't know enough. I don't know enough about your word. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough person. I'm not kind enough. I don't even like people, God. Really? Right? I get the willies when I'm around somebody who's hurting. I feel uncomfortable and awkward when I'm around the poor or the needy. Surely you could find somebody better than me. I feel like a fraud when I worship. People don't know how much I compromise. We could just go on and on. This is what I imagine for a lot of us, what our conversation with God goes like. God says, he calls us to something and we say, me, you know, if you only knew me, right? You would know you shouldn't choose me. God's response is always this, I do know you. And if you knew me, you wouldn't doubt what I could do through you. Do we understand that? We say, yeah, but I'm damaged. And he says, no, you're not. You are shattered. you're crushed. You're dust. No, but I have remade you in Christ. We say, but I'm weak. I'm fickle. I'm distracted easily. I can't be trusted. I lie. I cheat. I would destroy somebody else before I'd admit that I had any weaknesses. And he says, you know what? This isn't even about you. It's not about your talents. It's not about your mindset. It's not about your goodness. It's not about what you bring to the table. This is about me. This is about my spirit being able to live out my call through your life. So will you accept it? And then, I mean, think about Mary. Think about her calling. What was that calling anyway? Think about what she was called to do. She didn't end up opening this great, you know, she wasn't this great teacher, preacher and teacher of the deep mysteries of the Son of God. She could have been. She didn't write like this tell-all book about, you know, all the details about Jesus' life that nobody else knew. She didn't do that. She didn't open like the healing oils of the Bible, you know, out of her home. She didn't do that. She didn't start a business. She didn't open some counseling service for all the demoniacs, you know, coming out of that lifestyle. You know, that would have been easy stuff. No, you know what she did? She taught Jesus how to tie his sandals when he was growing up. Right? She fed him breakfast every morning. She made sure that he studied his Torah lessons. She was the one who was there to clothe him and to protect him. She cared for him. She prayed for him. Part of her call was that she was praying, I'm sure, daily, like most of us do, that she would even have the wisdom to parent her child well. That was part of her call. She was mom to the Son of God. And where would we be if she had not said yes to that call? To that call. Not a call to be famous, not a call to be out in the limelight, no. But a call that was exciting, a call that was terrifying, but also a call that was, in many ways, just completely mundane. God calls us to do great things. There's no question about it. He has given us the power of prayer to move the hand of God. We just got done talking about all that. He gives us the promise that all that we do and say will be significant in his kingdom when we do it in his power and in his spirit. He promises the peace of his presence as we walk through this world, but he also calls us sometimes into those everyday situations to just live with the people that are around us and to make Jesus known in some very normal kind of ways. He asks us sometimes to live out a call that is years of preparation and maybe just a small burst at times or a certain word or a time or another, but just to stay close to him. It's surprising, it's exciting, it's terrifying, but also it has this just mundane kind of piece to it because the call of God always includes the delights, it includes that definition of just the call of God, but also the demands that are there. And the thing we got to remember too is that it is a call in our life. It's not just a phase that we go through. It's not something that a season that we live through, right? This is a call on our whole life. It doesn't go away when I don't want to do it anymore. This is our call to either succeed at or to fail in. It's our call that God is offering. He says, I'm calling you into something. I will back you in it, but this is yours. There's no one else to take your place. There is going to be one mother of Jesus, right? There was one mother of Jesus, and there is only one who is called to do what God has called you to do. There is only one who is called to do what God has called me to do. So in that moment of challenging, and I mean, when you listen, don't you hear that? Don't you hear that call? Don't you hear the Spirit speaking to your spirit about this call that is just embedded in all that you are? And the question is, what will we do? How will we answer? Will we answer like Mary? Will we answer like Joseph? Like the shepherds, like the wise men? Will we say, God, why me? Sure, why me? How in the world? But in the end, will we get to that point where we say, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Now, I want you to know, this call, some of us go into our jobs and we say, well, I think my job is my calling. Usually your call is going to be bigger than your job. God may provide a job to provide for you, but it's going to be more about what are you doing with that opportunity? What are you doing in terms of the connections that you're making with the people in that place? What are you doing to leverage the position or the power or the affluence or the influence that God has given you through that place? That's the call. It's behind the thing. It's embedded within it. It's not just your job. A lot of times it's bigger than your job, or sometimes it's beyond your job. And our job is to always say, God, okay, what is that call? What is that call? How do we grab hold of this call of God? First of all, we got to find that calling, right? We need to be spending time with God and just listening to his voice. Don't look for the easy thing or the obvious thing. It's usually not there. Don't look for that thing that gives you success in the eyes of the people around you or of this world. It's usually not there. That's usually not where you will find the call of God. Your call is embedded deep in the wiring of who you are and just a fabric of your very being and of your soul. And a lot of times you got to clear away all kinds of stuff before you can see it clearly. You got to take the time to do the work and just clear it away so you can see, what is this thing that God has called me to? You may not get an angel. Sorry. Gabriel may not show up and say, hey, this is what you've been called to. It probably will come as you walk through your day and you just take that time and that regular time to regularly lean into listening to what is the Spirit telling me? What is that next thing that he's calling me and wanting me to do? And this calling, sometimes it emerges as you go. So the second thing is, the first thing, we need to find our calling, but the second thing is take the next step in that call. Most of the time, we're not gonna know the end, right? Mary couldn't even imagine what the end was gonna look like, could she? Do you think she had in her mind anywhere that somehow her son was gonna die, but then he was gonna rise again, that she was going to stand next to her resurrected son? Do you think she had that anywhere in her head when the angel showed up? No, I don't think so. We can't imagine the beginning. It's too big to think about, but we do have the ability to take the next step, the next step that's right in front of us, where we say, I think God is nudging me to do this. I think God is leading me in this direction, to make this decision, to make this choice, to take this action, to respond in this way. It may be a simple answer like, let it be done to me according to your will, I am your servant. It may be that's our next step. It may be just receiving, saying, God, whatever you got for me, lead the way, I'm with you. It may be that he asks us a simple act of kindness. It may be a mundane act like teaching our kids how to tie their shoes. It may be an act of great sacrifice. It may be an amazing act that inspires people just by the way that God shows himself through you. But whatever it is, just take that step. You know, I heard a great quote this last week. It was in the graduation address at Bennington College in 2012. And the speaker at that time, he said, you know what? He said something like this. This is how it hit me anyway. But he said, you know, we love to dream about what our lives will be years from now, but we hate to think about what we're going to have to do tomorrow in order to get there. I thought that was brilliant. So much of following and grabbing hold of the call of God is to take that next step, the step of what am I supposed to do tomorrow? Not where am I supposed to end up, not what is the greatest dream I can imagine, but what do I need to do in that next step? Third, get ready for the joy, but also the challenge, right? Because God's call always comes with the delights, but also the demands. So get ready for the joys, get excited about those, but also gear up, buckle up for the challenges, because they will come too. This call will stretch us. But fourth, remember what the angel told Mary, the first words he spoke to her. The first words that angels always speak to people when they show up. Say, don't fear. Do not fear. God would not have called you into this if he had not prepared you for this. And if this was not going to be, at the end of it, overwhelmingly, undeniably good in your life and in the lives of those around you. So do not fear. It will be worth it. It is always worth it to live out what God has designed us for, to live out the very purpose for which we were created. It is always worthwhile. It will be worthwhile when we get to the end of our lives and we look back and we see what God has done, because we have followed his call, how he has impacted our world, how he has impacted the people around us. It will be worth it when we get to the end. It also be most worth it when we stand before God himself and we hear the words that he says that he will speak to those who have followed him, where he says, well done, well done. And you know what? I think that moment is going to be the most surprising of all, right? Those words, I think, are going to shock most of us. When we stand before God and we can have this whole list of how we failed him, how we let him down, and he says, no, well done. Well done on following the call, on giving what I had given you and running with it. So find your calling, yes. Take the next step in that call. Get ready for the joys and the sorrows, but do not fear. Go boldly into the call of God and grab hold of it. That is the story of Mary. That's the story of Joseph. That's the story of Christmas. Amen?